Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. If Florian Havoc's latest feature documentary, Land of the Long White Cloud, was to have a review and quotes on its cover, they could do a lot worse than one comment I heard leaving the cinema last week. What just makes you proud to be a New Zealander, eh? The film was a follow-up to Kaikohe Demolition and stays in Northland following the five-day Snapper Classic competition on 90 Mile Beach. I caught up with Florian at Auckland Airport this week.
The human brain is a multifaceted thing that thinks about all sorts of things, mostly bullshit, but all sorts of things, whereas fish doesn't. Fish only thinks about eating, reproduction, staying alive. A bit like the Kiwi male, probably. They got to be clever, or else they're dead. Simple as that. A bit like living in a war zone of fish. If you're a bit slow, you're dead. The fact is that if you want to catch them, you have to be cleverer than they are.
So, we're outside Auckland Airport. Why are you at the airport, first of all?
Well, I thought I was flying to New York, but I've just jumped in your car and we're outside a gas station now, so I'm a little confused, but I'm hopefully going to be in LA in 14 hours.
What are you doing over in LA, New York?
I'm on part two of my Harriet Freelander artist residency. Yeah, so I've just come back to promote Land Long White Cloud, and now I'm going back for more New York City and some snow.
Tell me about the residency.
Yeah, I'm really lucky. It's the Arts Foundation have organized it, and I was the lucky first person to receive it. And Harriet Freelander, who's sadly not with us anymore, but she was an arts supporter and benefactor, and it was her dream to send a New Zealand artist, like musician or filmmaker or painter, any kind of artist, to New York every 2 years, with the sole purpose of being inspired by the city, nothing else. Yeah, it's like being on the dole in New York. I mean, you can do whatever you want, and there's just so much going on. And yeah, I've been living it up, and I've been writing a new script, which is going well, and it's been amazing.
You're back here briefly to promote Land of the Long White Cloud. Now, I understand that you're actually you're doing that yourself, aren't you?
Yeah, this is it's the first time I've actually taken on, like, the film was already made with a tiny team. There were six of us, and I directed and produced it. But because that's just a small film, I decided to distribute it myself as well, because I couldn't get any of the big distributors interested. And it's been, oh my God, it's been a huge job. Yeah.
Now, I've seen Land of the Long White Cloud. I just want you to tell people what it's about, for a start.
You could kind of say fish meat philosophy on 90 Mile Beach. If anyone's seen Kaikohe Demolition, it's a film made in the same kind of spirit. Just, we had an amazing time on 90 Mile Beach for 5 days over the course of a classic snapper fishing contest. And just met some really amazing, generous, high-spirited locals, mainly Northlanders, that, they're just being themselves in the film and catching some big fish. There's a few musical numbers in the film as well. 50s, 60s, rock and roll New Zealand sort of hits. What do you think of those?
We'll get to those in a moment. So it's set over the classic snapper fishing contest. What year was it filmed?
Exactly 1 year ago in 1 week. So it's a real fast turnaround film. We only had 6 days to shoot it. It was like a challenge, you know. We've got to get a whole film in the can in those 6 days. It was like we were fishing as well, fishing for footage, fishing for characters, and we edited it in 5 months, and it was in the film festival in July, and now it's been playing already for 3 weeks around the country.
This beach is, well, this is the biggest fishing contest in the world, I believe, and I think this beach has got, this is just fantastic. I think it's just, we've been coming here for 24 years, and there isn't a moment I haven't enjoyed it. It's even good with a hangover, which we have quite often.
It was the one thing I would say is I noticed that it was a grey old, rainy old 5 days of this. It wasn't in the sunshine at 90 Mile Beach. Were you hoping secretly that it would be like that? Because it's a lot more dramatic, isn't it?
Oh, totally. Like, I remember my dad going, oh no, Florian, it's bad weather for you. And I was like, no, this is the best news in the world. And it's also good news for the fishermen, because those rough conditions, they make the fish come out, you know, onto land. And yeah, of course, filmically, it's much better. Even I used to do wedding photography, and of course, it's not very good news for the bride and groom if it's a stormy day. But I'm always like, well, you're going to get the best photographs in these conditions.
Was it? Did it make it a little bit, I don't know, miserable though during the process being there?
Not at all. We all felt really, really alive being out on that amazing beach and in the conditions, and not 1 second miserable. And I don't think the fishermen either, even though, you know, they were sticking it out and in the water knee deep most of the time.
And in fact, I mean, in terms of outcomes, I mean, documentary makers, I imagine, whilst fishing was very much secondary, I suppose, in the movie, the fact that the winner actually, did quite well.
It was so incredible. Like, there's a lot of luck involved with fishing, and luck is kind of one of the themes in the film, but we happened to be, myself, and also Neve Perrin, who was interviewing as well, we both happened to be at the right place at the right time when the biggest snapper was caught in 25 years.
I don't think that doesn't ruin the end of the movie by saying that, does it?
Oh, there's lots of other fish. Yeah.
There's an old saying back in our rugby days called Kiss. Everybody thought it was a rock band, but to us it just meant keep it simple, stupid. Mm-hmm. When you keep to those philosophies, you've pretty got much good life sussed.
Now, you say it's fishing meets philosophy. And that's quite interesting because you wait for about, I don't know, 20 minutes into the film, I think, before you pose your first rather esoteric question, which is?
Well, I was waiting for mermaids, but there were no mermaids that were brought up. And where were you? The first question I asked fishermen is what were you doing when Lady Diana died?
And tell me why that was. Were you just looking for something obtuse that was going to throw them, or do you actually have a particular interest in that moment in time?
Well, I do love Diana, and just seeing her again on the news recently, I just think she is a really beautiful woman. I thought it was a way to get under people's skin a little bit, you know, like when you ask people what kind of bait they use and what kind of sinkers, you kind of get, you know, similar answers all the time. I think it brings people together because you kind of think about, well, what was I doing when that happened, or what was I doing when I found out Michael Jackson died?
So the film, I mean, it's shot beautifully. Is that 16mm film, is it?
Well, it's nice to hear you say that. We actually shot it on two tiny cameras the size of a Coke can, but we had a really nice grade. John Baxter from Perceptual Engineering gave it a nice film grade.
Right, so,
yeah.
You don't need to shoot on film anymore,
then. No. I mean, I love film, but yeah, it means we, the filmmakers, can have fun. You know, you're not stressing about hiring big cameras and intimidating people with them. I had to put a tripod head on my camera just to give it a bit of weight to keep it steady.
So it is starting to make some money back. It's had good turnout
up north. It's been beating Avatar for 2 weeks. It's been amazing. There's like on a Monday night there were 60 people in the cinema up north at 6 p.m. and because the locals up there really love it. Like just getting on the plane in Kirikiri today, I had people come up to me and just really they really connect with it.
I was going to say up north they don't have Avatar in 3D either.
No.
I mean it's
but
a the competition
in 3D up north.
the competition is actually a lot less when Avatar is not in 3D. It ain't that good. One last thing I was going to say, just a quick question. The musical numbers, it departs from documentary style in the sense that you're actually getting real people to just sort of sing along, to mime along with these songs of yours. How did you go about that?
Well, I've never experienced anything like it, and I don't know how many filmmakers have, but it was real guerrilla style musical numbers. You know, we'd get a great interview with someone on the beach, and I'd be like, hey, would you want to do a musical number? And, you know, you'd either get a really kind of confused look, or do you want me to be on the beach, or do you want me to be in the water? And I mean, there was, for one of the bigger musical numbers, we had the karaoke champion of Ahipada all lined up. We'd set up on the day on the beach. We had like dancers from some locals we found, and had a little stage set up on a chili bin and shells. And I went to the pub to pick her up, and she couldn't leave work, so I just scoped out the whole pub, and I saw this Maori gentleman with a moustache. Went up to him immediately, not knowing this guy as a singer from like back in the days. I said, look, hey, we're doing this musical number, can you help us out? And he jumped in the car 10 minutes to the beach. I played the CD while we're driving to the beach. He learnt the lines, did the musical number, and, you know, it was got it in the can.
Brilliant. Look, it's a beautiful film. It's got so many memorable lines, memorable characters. I can't wait to see what you come up with next.
Hey, real pleasure. Thank you so much.
Yes, we come to catch fish, but we come to have easiest time as possible of it.
and Land of the Long White Cloud is in all good but probably quite small cinemas around the country now. Coming up after the break, we meet the man behind a very famous voice.